Thank you so much, Nancy. Worthy is the Lamb. I don't know if you recognize the first piece that she was doing. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I pray today more than anything you see up here that we might, like even John the divine, have that vision of the Lamb seated on the throne. Remember again from a bit last night, the worst thing is not the last thing, because you see, he's going to have the last word one day, and that's our hope that we gather in. Also, Jan, she asked me if she was going by, have I memorized the Bible myself, which I said, no, I have not, you know. But Jan, thank you for telling us the stories of these hymns. They don't just come out of thin air. And how important the Bible, that's what this is about, stories. And even the stories that are part of Paisano. And it's also fitting too today that one of the pieces that she played was He Leadeth Me. Because that's what we're going to be talking about. Sometimes I like to give you a little head start on where we're going in case I lose you along the way. Okay? He leadeth me. And so really, I want to give you a question to begin with, and let this kind of be woven together as we journey through the passage today. How did you get here? How did you get here? So I wanted to say one other thing, too, about last night. I was really... Some might be surprised. Preachers really are conscious of time, and I really was last night. And it's like there's a story Joel Gregory tells about old Carswell Air Force Base, but I also can make the same application as I go to Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene, home of the B-1 and C-130. And you can see those planes circling and flying around Abilene. And what they do is you can see them coming down. If you're out at Dyess, you can see them coming down. It looks like they're going to land, and then they take back off. They're practicing their approaches. One time, Joel Gregory said, that's like a lot of sermons. You see, he's coming in. Nope, there he goes again, right off, you know. Where did he go, you know? So I was trying to bring us in for a landing last night together. But one thing I just want to, that hardship, I know it can make us bitter. It can make us better. That they're not God, and as I said, God does not send them, but they're not there to ruin us, but somehow to refine us. And also beyond our ability to bear. And that's where I wanted to say, you're not going this alone. And this isn't about self-help, that I did think about, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is light and my way is easy. When you are at those points unable to bear there, he is never. He is always able. And then even that word helpless. It is when we come to that point, really, and Baptists, we have perhaps just kind of waited in the shallows of the Holy Spirit. I like what Jim Cimbala says. He said, with just the word, we dry up. With just the spirit, we blow up. But together, we grow up, you know, of how his spirit helps us to read this word. He promised, I will come to lead you into all truth. And so we do come to those moments of, Lord, I'm helpless. But that's when the Spirit begins to do his best work in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So as we go now this morning, I'd like you to stand as I read. From the 23rd Psalm, I know that can be dangerous to do something we're all familiar with, but as we stand again for the reading of God's Word, and I would invite you again as we did last night, when I conclude, I will say, this is the Word of God for the people of God, to which we declare in His midst, thanks be to God. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores, refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness, are the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me, and You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup literally overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Oh God, whatever it is that You, even since we stirred early this morning and caught just another glimpse and even felt the whole earth is full of Your glory that comes to refresh. Oh God, whatever it is You've been saying to us, help us to hear it, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was reading A Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, he tells of an experience there that I also had, and so I acknowledge that because, you know, you don't want to plagiarize as pastors, but it was just interesting, and I connected with the story he told. When my daughter Natalie was in the fourth grade, she was going with her class to eastern Kentucky to a place called Pine Mountain. It was an ecological camp that they were going to. I was drafted to go as one of the sponsors. I couldn't leave early with the group on the bus because of work, and so I had to drive over and meet them after they had already arrived at Pine Mountain. I'd never been to eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky is not like the drive from Midland to here, I can tell you, okay? You go through mountains, there's tall trees, you go back through those hollards, the roads are winding, at times you can't even see, it seems, what's ahead of you, and I was lost. And so I stop at this grocery store, and small little store, roads, kind of like roads departed in the yellow wood, one went one way, and so I went in, and I told him where I was going, and he was almost kind of a stereotypical Kentuckian, if you've never been to Appalachia, but generous and very kind and gracious, I would say. But in his bib overalls, wad of tobacco in his mouth, he kind of looked at me, spit first. I hope didn't take that personally. But then he said, and he thought a minute, he said, "Son, you can't get there from here." I said, "What?" "Nope, son, you can't get there from here, you know." And so he kindly told me about what I needed to do, about some backtracking, you know. And so I finally made it to supper. But I had to take the roundabout way. And there are times, and that's what this portion of this psalm that we'll be looking at, about how He guides us in paths of righteousness, God often takes us on the roundabout way, the indirect way. Oh Lord, why do You do that, you know? And so it is, but we can trust that He's always guiding, even when we feel like I was that day so lost. It's interesting too, I did think of the frontiersman Daniel Boone, who was known for exploring that area, you know. He was asked one time, they said, "Have you ever been lost?" And he said, "No, I've never been lost. I've been bewildered for several weeks, but never lost, you know." But at times we get bewildered and lost, right? We've been there. Whether it's maybe trying to reach a destination like I was, a goal, making some change. We can't get there from where we are somehow. Maybe at times it's our own doing. Maybe before God really takes us on the roundabout way. We've chosen the roundabout way, but I tell you, the word of grace here is he's always on the roundabout way, getting us where he wants us, to his straight path. And so it is, some habit, choices we make, addiction, anger, my selfishness. Just as we heard Dwayne Brooks so wonderfully talk about the Lord's Prayer, that I have usurped God and I'm on the throne. My stubbornness, it makes it difficult to get to our destination from where we are. It's easier to follow our path than the path of righteousness. It's like Proverbs 14:25 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And so as we think of this psalm, the setting of a shepherd, as we think of paths, as we think of roads, I mean, it is about sheep. Sheep will follow the same path until those paths become ruts. They'll overgraze a path or field until it becomes a wasteland. No class of livestock needs more direction than sheep. I'm not here to beat up on sheep. I mean, but you've never heard of any sheep trips, have you? I know. They are prone to stay where they are. But the greatest safeguard that a shepherd has is to keep them moving. Sound familiar? Oh, Lord, I like where I am. You know, don't disturb me. And so these words, no, you can't get there from here, can ring true as we nibble our way and as we overgraze our places and we wonder, why have I lost that kind of sense of intake and nourishment, but I'm still grazing on the old fields. And so to keep us moving and growing, God often, he takes us the roundabout way, the indirect way. There's something else about you can't get there from here. I can't get to that righteous road by myself. With all my good intentions, Jan even memorizing the Bible, with my merit, with our wisdom, with our righteousness, comparing ourselves to others. Gosh, a Paisano crowd, you all look great, you know? We can't get there to where God really wants to take us on our own. You just can't get to that path of righteousness from where you are on your own. Our merit, our good works, our wisdom, our trailblazing. We need something. We need someone. We need a shepherd. No, what we really need is a good shepherd somehow to help us find the way. There was something else that night about, or that week at the Pine Mountain and the ecological camp. We took a night walk with fourth graders, which is quite an experience. It will get you close to the Lord, I promise you. And so walking along with them, and they couldn't have flashlights because they wanted us to experience the darkness and the creatures of the dark, but we just had to keep trusting the guide, and he knew his way. And so that is another reminder. I'm not very technological. I will use GPS when Mary's usually our navigator, thank goodness. But when I'm alone trying to make a visit, especially outside of Abilene in the country, I'll use GPS. And I had to use it a couple of years ago, plugged it in to make a bereavement call out in the county. And I programmed into the address. And then as you get there, Sari, I mean, it's like you're coming, you're arriving. She said, you're 1/2 mile away. You're 1 mile away. You're 1/2 mile away. I was 1.5. 1/2 mile away. And then she says, your destination is on the right. Wrong. It was an open field with no gate even, you know. She doesn't navigate West Texas, I tell you. So don't trust her there. And so I call the house. And I was looking for 341 Elmdale. And what what Ginger told me. She said, "Oh, we're around the bend and down the road." And I thought about that in our journey. You see, discipleship and fellowship is always around the bend and down the road to keep moving. Yes, around the bend. What's around the bend? Down the road. But that's the promise we have from this good shepherd. On this right path of the psalm, there are no shortcuts. And that's why I often miss it. We get focused on saving time, avoiding pain, instead of losing our lives for the good shepherd. There's a story about a traveler who asked a child, "Is there a shortcut to such and such village?" And the child answers, "Oh yes, there is a shortcut that is long, and there is a long way that is short." Ponder that one this afternoon at day camp. And that story really connects with the 23rd Psalm and that phrase about he leads us in paths, trails of righteousness for his name's sake. And his name's sake is so important. Yes, God loves us, but also it ultimately is for his glory in that leading. And so the right paths are straight paths. In the Hebrew is far more profound and complex than just walking the straight and narrow, okay? That would be real easy to say, okay, just keep your act together, keep it clean, let's go. The phrase literally means he leads us in the roundabout ways that end up in the right direction. Wow. He leads us in the roundabout ways that lead us into the right direction. Now, I don't know. I look for my share of shortcuts, whether in driving or relationships. You fill in the blank. Dr. Moak, he's my family physician, and you know, he goes and he tells me what I need to do to be healthy. And I say, you know, is there really another way? could we talk about this, you know? God doesn't seem to use straight lines or shortcuts in leading us. Maybe in geometry, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But as we follow this right path of this psalm and the shepherd, the shortest distance to our goals are green pastures or still waters, or as we'll look at Thursday, boy, the high country is often the roundabout way, the indirect way we never would have chosen. And so I want you to step into this sermon, lean into it, as they say, for a moment, and I'm going to come back to that question. How did you get here this morning? And not just from your cabin. You know, first, you sure didn't get here on your own. That's another thing you can ponder. Who are all the people, especially here with this storied history, who are all the people that helped you in the roundabout way get here? And then I would imagine some of you, you can say, "Yes, Phil, boy, I can't believe I got here. Yes, it was a roundabout way." Maybe for some, you look back and don't live in regret, okay? It was your own choosing. But some of you, and yet all of us can just say, though, in kind of this amazement that God led us all the way home. He leadeth me for his name's sake. I got here because 44 years ago, God took me on the roundabout way that led me to where God eventually wanted me to be. I was a first-year seminary student in Louisville, Kentucky, We were back. I was from Texas, San Antonio. We were visiting our relatives in Amarillo. I was staying with my cousins. I had a good friend who was pastor of First Baptist Church Hereford. His name's Gerald Mann. He went on to start a wonderful place in Austin called Riverbend Church. It was a great church for those especially dealing with recovery. But Gerald, I went out to talk with him, hopefully, that if I came back for the summer, I could get a summer youth ministry job with him. And so I went out and he had just hired somebody. And I was disappointed in that. Kind of that letdown. I really wanted to work with him. I had respect for him. And so he said, though, I've got a friend, Hardy Clemens, at Second Baptist Church Lubbock, and he's looking for a youth minister. And so lo and behold, that night in Amarillo, and I've never asked Hardy about this. I don't know how he got my number because I was staying with these relatives. I don't think he went through every Christopher in the Amarillo phone book, but he found me that night. And what happened? The rest of the story, I ended up getting the job. And then when I graduated, I came back full time because of a 13-year-old girl really named Bethany Martin, but that's another story. I'll land that plane some other time, okay? But even she is a part of this roundabout way. I wanted to go to Hereford. Now, how many people really want to go to Hereford, okay? I did. But really, Hereford, 27 miles off the Interstate 27. And yet, that was the roundabout way God took me to Lubbock, where I met Mary and Jeremy was born. And I learned the foundation of ministry. And so it is, again, I say, never planned even to go to Lubbock. And I don't agree with the old Mac Davis song, "Happiness is Lubbock in the Rearview Mirror," you know. For me, it was the path, the right path. Not my righteousness, but his right leading. What stories do you have? How did you get to where you are? Or who you become and who you're becoming. Think of the roundabout, indirect ways God has led you on the right path. So, perhaps, maybe you were let go of a job. You couldn't find a job that you wanted. You went through valleys of disappointment. We might have desperately asked, God, where are you taking me? And like a wise guide, God doesn't tell us immediately. He won't do that. God will give us signs and hints along the roundabout way that he's leading. It was like last night, and I want to be careful to protect confidentiality, and a person came up to me afterwards, and he talked about living in Abilene and went... He lived in Abilene, okay? He went through a crisis in his life and didn't have a penny to his name. So he decided, I'll go to some church to get something to eat. It was Wednesday night. And he said, I wasn't sure. I'd never been in that situation. I wasn't sure how to come up, you know, to the line where they take the money and kind of go, oh, I forgot my wallet, you know, something like that. But before he could even do that or try to fake it, that this senior adult couple, and I'm not surprised, they said, they asked him about his name and where he was from, and it said, well, let me pay for your dinner that night. And tears welled up in his eyes as he told that story. He's on the roundabout way, because I tell you, he's right today where God wants him. But that roundabout way and that little crusty crumb that God, no, it wasn't a crusty crumb, it was an abundance that night God said, he leadeth me, you see. So look at the way that God leads the people of Israel out of Egypt in Exodus 13. He leads them the roundabout way to the promised land. He could have taken them up the short route up the west coast. I mean, it would have been really nice. It would have been like today. Instead of the hot desert, they would have been on the coast route where the winds off the Mediterranean would have been blowing during the day. You know, isn't that a beautiful view? It was the short way. It would have taken 2 weeks. God takes them 40 years because they weren't ready. They weren't ready. They needed the long way, which became really the short way. You see, they couldn't get to the promised land from where they were, even in Egypt, the Exodus from Egypt, because they still thought like slaves. They needed the law, those commandments that are about community, really, and what it means to live together. And then they needed manna to be reminded God can be trusted every day. That's even the Lord's Prayer is even an echo of that event. Give us this day, Lord, my daily bread, not tomorrow. Lord, I'm going to trust you just like in the wilderness. You will provide my daily bread as you take me the roundabout way. And so God leads and he guides on the right path for his name's sake. It is for his glory. It is that he might be declared that he has no rivals, no equals. He is the God of the nations. You see, Pharaoh didn't let the people go. And that's why we go through really that whole process. And even about hardening the heart of Pharaoh. It was that God let the people go. It's for his name's sake. And so, that deliverance, it comes on the roundabout way. And even today, right now, anything is possible because he leadeth us. And so there are other things we could do. I'd encourage you to circle the pronouns in this passage of this God who is with us in everything, that you would look here at the verbs he makes, he leads, he refreshes, and he guides, this great God. And also is understanding, I can't get to where he wants me to be on my own. As Paul said, no, not one is righteous. I'm not. But God finds a way to reach us. He will never let you go. I listened to a CD of Dr. Truett's sermon, The Power of Choice. In fact, I brought some. I'll explain that maybe tomorrow night. I never heard his voice. But there is one compelling moment in that sermon where I was just so captured and convicted as he went over and over, even though we at times make bad choices or how we need to choose like Joshua and his family, but in almost this litany, God will never, ever give up on us. He will do anything to reach us, and really the cross, it really was the roundabout way to even reach us. Whoever would have imagined that God would come in the form of that common carpenter, in the form of a servant. And so for us, it's on the cross that we realize that he gives to us his righteousness. That's where he wants to take us, to his cross. It's a place where all the roundabout ways come together. It's the place of his grace. It's a place to be reminded that I've been with you the whole time. It's like Aslan, you know, in C.S. Lewis's letter about the great lion, that he's always been there at the back nudging and being with the children. This is a cross someone in Abilene sent me, and it's pieces of tile, chip tile, put together in a mosaic, artistic in its own way, but there's still pieces in between. But I think this is a picture of where the roundabout way leads. And at one time she had, the writing has faded now, but it was like the Lord takes the broken pieces of our lives and he puts them together to make something whole and something right. And so he does. He's leading us here to his love, his mercy, his new starts, his new beginnings, of where he takes the pieces and he puts them together. This really is his story ultimately for his name's sake, I know, but our story is there as well in the pieces. That for us today, the right way that he has made whole for his name's sake, that we and the world might know this gracious God, worthy is the Lamb who sitteth on the throne, who even came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world and to lead us today on the right way. Let's pray. Gracious God, even now, beyond my words, speak to us in this silence. Often that is where you most profoundly speak to us. Even today, to take some time in this beautiful day of your creation, to hear the still small voice that even spoke to Elijah in a cave hiding out, to know of even how your voice, so still yet in that tomb on Easter, was that prelude for us saying, he's risen. God, remind these, my dear brothers and sisters, as we journey together. Number one, we have each other as the body of Christ in the community. And so also, though, help us to trust that promise that you leadeth us. And today, may we just, in a sense of awe and reverence and gratitude, give thanks that you led us to this place in our lives. And so we give thanks even as we will go to eat daily bread, even as we gather, remind us, O God, the table of abundance that you set, you are always preparing for us. Today, may we trust you will provide everything we will ever need. For we ask it in the name of the God who is able to work in roundabout ways and through crosses and through losses and through difficulties. We give thanks and ask it in Christ's name. Amen.